It's Marketplace Tech for Friday, November 9th. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. To help tap financial donors and to get out the vote, we knew the Obama campaign was crunching big data, but until now it wasn't clear how big. Michael Shearer, White House correspondent for Time, got an inside look at the math wizards, behavioral scientists, and other data specialists driving the campaign. His access was on condition he not say anything until after a concession speech was delivered. Mr. Shearer, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, David.
So the number crunching here, how extensive was it?
It was really extensive. They had an analytics team that alone was five times the size of what the Obama campaign had in 2008.
Do you see the hand of all this data in, for instance, that decision last August where they put the president on that online crowdsourced news aggregator Reddit?
Yeah, they told me explicitly that that was the reason, you know, that they went on that website. The senior aides to Obama had never heard of it, didn't know what it was, but basically their data people came back to them and they said, look, a lot of our targets are here. Let's put the president on. We'll have him do one of these interviews.
So you wrote that the Obama campaign had a sample of people in Ohio of, what, 29,000 people?
Yeah, so they had four different streams of polling data. They had polling data of all the battleground states. They had pollsters in several of the battleground states. They had state polls, and then they had an analytics team that was calling in, you know, 1,000 calls a night to Ohio. The regular Ohio poll, the ones, the public polls that the press were using, would have a sample of something like 800 people over several days. By the end of the campaign, they had a sample, a month-long sample in Ohio of 29,000, which just allowed them to do incredibly deep dives to figure out exactly who was moving away with the president, from the president, moving towards the president, who still was undecided. I mean, they knew down to the, you know, the age, race, neighborhood, occupation, everything of who they really were targeting at the end.
I don't know, but it looks like it worked.
It was one of many things that worked for them. But, you know, today I've been talking to Republicans, and they're sort of in awe of some of the turnout that the Obama campaign got in some of these states, particularly in Ohio. And, you know, we'll find out over the coming weeks what that should be all attributed to. But there's no doubt that the advancement in data and targeting and identifying voters and being able to get them to the polls, especially people with low propensity who don't normally vote, was key to winning those states.
Michael Shearer's piece is in Time's special election issue, out today. There's news Coca-Cola was hacked back in 2009. And we're just finding out the digital intruders weren't looking for the secret recipe. They were sneaking through the company's computer systems looking for documents about a proposed purchase of a Chinese beverage company. Alex Stamos, a security consultant and chief technology officer at Artemis Internet, says this is happening right and left.
If you break into an oil company and you're able to find out what gas leases they're interested in, that could be a multi-billion dollar swing in value from one company to another over a multi-decade period.
According to Bloomberg News, which broke the story, Coke did not disclose the attack to its investors, which is the real trend we wanted to tell you about. With billions at stake, big publicly traded firms aren't very keen on admitting they've been compromised, even though it's material information of the sort stockholders might find useful.
For every time one of these stories becomes public, 10 times it happens and is covered up. And that's not helping us, because the bad guys are talking to each other.
Stamos says companies need to approach security breaches with less "I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you" secrecy, and be more open source, sharing what happened, if they want to avoid getting clobbered again. I'm David Brancaccio, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.